A few here when we started, and those are usually our biggest days at Bible Baptist Church when we sing them in. So we're glad you're here this morning. Brother Travis, if you'll get that, if you were with us 2 weeks ago, you have this already. Dakota, you can help.
If you were with us 2 weeks ago, you already have this. Or you have this.
So if you don't have it still, you can get another one. Dakota's got one. You got it. Good. I've got mine. I have to put it away in a safe drawer so I have it for next Sunday too. It gets about Thursday and I'm panicking to look and see where I put that from last Sunday. So we are in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And of course, chapter 1 we entitled Wisdom's Plea. Chapter 2 was Wisdom's Protection. In chapters 3 all the way to chapter 5, we're going to be looking at Wisdom's Path. And you'll see that at the top of our notes for this morning, Proverbs 3, 1 to 35, Wisdom's Path. So in these three chapters, chapter 3, 4, and 5, they'll all have to do with Wisdom's Path. We looked first of all last week at Roman numeral 1. It is a pleasant path, verse 1 down to verse number 20. That's where we were covering as we left off, and I filled in, for those of you that weren't here, I filled in the blanks so you have them. Verse 1 to 4 was wisdom brings promise, length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Thou shalt find good favor and good understanding. That was the promise, wisdom's promise. And under the promise was number one, the commands. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Before the promise can be fulfilled, there has to be the keeping of the commands. That is a law of God. That before good things happen, obedience has to take place. Our modern society has changed that around and think you should get rewarded for participation. Get rewarded just for being there. But no, you get rewarded by doing good things. Not everybody should get an A. You have to earn those and deserve that. Not everybody can be the most valuable player. Only one on a team can be that, but that's just the way it is. You have to do something. So there were the commands. Then number two was the compensation. Forget not my law, keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. When we obey the word of God, it protects us from a lot of the tragedies of life. When you are obedient to the word of God, you'll not live a lifestyle that endangers your health. And while it is still true, just take it down a little bit, Bill, it's a little bit loud. While it's still true that circumstances can happen to anybody. You know, cancer can hit anybody. It doesn't have to be a result of cigarette smoke. Liver disease can happen. It doesn't have to be a result of drinking. These things can still happen. But overall, in the general picture, when we obey the commands of the Word of God, it gives us longer life. We live longer than normally. So there's the commands and then the compensation. Length of days and long life. Letter B, we saw wisdom brings protection. And again, when we walk in the ways of God, when we're wise in our path and walk in His ways, it protects us from the evils. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Keep good company. Hang around with good people. Wisdom brings protection. Number one, in our paths, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own direction. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. When people are outside of the wisdom of God, they're following evil paths. So in our past, number two, in our possessions. When we trust Him, He takes care of all aspects of our life. He even takes care of, small letter A, our health. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel. We talked about that being your bowels, the source of your life. And marrow to thy bones. Length of days is in her right hand. So it takes care of health, and small letter B, it takes care of wealth. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Again, we give to God before we give to anything else. We don't say, God, when I pay the electric company, when I put them first, then I'll pay you. When I pay the mortgage payment, after I take care of the bank, then God, you're right behind that. No, God is the first fruits. He's the one that's to be paid first. In our human understanding, when we sit down and look at the budget, we're tended to hold back. We can't hold off the electric bill. We can't hold off the water bill, so we hold off on God. And in the long run, which is more dangerous? Holding off on the electric company or holding off on God? And so we see that. Our wealth, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. That brings us down to number three, and we just briefly got to touch on that last week. Number one was wisdom brings protection in our past. Number two, in our possessions. Number three, in our punishment. It brings God's protection in our punishment. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, let me ask you a question. If you are straying out of the right, wrong path, who would you rather have correct you? God or a stranger? God that you know is your heavenly Father and that loves you and is concerned and wants only what's best for you, or someone that you don't know and don't know their intent and don't know their desire? We should want God. That's wisdom protects us through in our punishment. All right? We would rather have our heavenly Father be the one that punishes us than someone else. All right? Verse number 11 and 12 says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. We want God to slap our hand before he has to paddle our backside. Now, let's put it bluntly. We'd rather have God when we are tempted to go out of the way, to do something wrong. Now, I'm not talking about murder and adultery and all those things, because those just don't happen overnight. There are small seeds of sin that come in before that ever matures. And when those very seeds come in, that's when we need God to slap our hand before we need our backside paddle. It's the same way we should be doing with our children or children's children, things along that line. Don't wait until they, you know, the problem again with modern society is they don't punish until it's too late. Well, you start at the very beginning. You know what the doctor does the minute that baby comes out of the womb? Slaps its backside. All right, there's a good pattern. Let's get started right then. Modern psychology is so weird. You know, Dr. Spock started all this weird stuff about it at the very beginning, you know, and now we've gotten to a day and an age where we do timeouts or whatever it is instead of child discipline. I'm thankful that God doesn't do that. God disciplines us, and we should be thankful for that. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Somebody says, well, I can't spank my child. I love them too much. No, you don't love them if you don't spank them. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Much better to correct them at 2 or 3 years old than to worry about it when they're 20 and 30 years old. By that time, it's too late. I've told you the story, and it's one of my favorite stories for some reason, about the woman that wrote into the Chicago Tribune long time ago and wrote to the editor with a question, you know, Ann Landers and all that kind of stuff. That used to be who they write to. I don't know who it is now. But they're writing to the columnist and for advice and all that. She said, I have a son that's 19, 20 years old. He's hanging around with the wrong crowd. He comes in drunk. He's disrespectful to me as his mother. What can I do? And the columnist said, you need to shrink him down to 6 months and start all over again. And though, you know, you can't do that, that's the reality of it. If we don't train them at that age, what are they going to... So we want God, as a young Christian, we want God to chastise us. Lord, if I am out of your will, if I'm drifting in a wrong direction, please correct me. But in thy love, that's what David said, not in thy wrath, lest thou consume me and I come to nothing, but correct me in thy love. And God is able to do that. He's able to correct those things, to speak to our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit, and say, you know, that's not right. Don't do that. That's going in a wrong direction. You're going to fill your heart or your mind with this or that. We need to listen to God. And so it is wisdom protects us. It protects our, even in our punishment. This verse is so great in here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, that it's repeated in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6. We'll not turn there, but it's repeated. Paul quotes it in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, applying it to you and I as believers in the New Testament, that the Lord corrects those whom he loves. When God corrects you, you ought to say, thank you, Lord. Not blame him, not accuse him, but say, just simply say, thank you, Lord. I read this morning. I'm in Job in my Bible reading, in Job chapter 5, verse 17. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not the chastening of the Almighty. All right, so God corrects us in our path. Wisdom brings protection, and even in our punishment. That brings us to letter C then. Letter A, wisdom brings promise. Letter B, wisdom brings protection. Letter C, wisdom brings perspective. Perspective. P-E-R-S-P-E-C-T-I-V-E. Perspective. Wisdom brings perspective. Verse 13 to 15. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all of the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. The world values things that are really not that important in the long run. We say this, you've never seen a hearse following a funeral procession. Not a hearse, a Briggs truck. All right. You do see a hearse usually. You never see a Briggs truck following a funeral procession. You can't take the things of this life with you. So we need wisdom gives us perspective. It helps us value what is important. Put things in the right order. Perspective simply means seeing things correctly, seeing them in a correct or a right light. And wisdom, that's why Brother Matthews has talked about this before. Read Proverbs every day. Every day of the month, read the proverb for that day. There's 31 proverbs, and you want wisdom, it's to be found in the book of Proverbs. And it will give you a good perspective. It will help you not to value the things that are really not important, and to value the things that many don't think are important. Again, we're talking about wisdom. That's all these first nine chapters are all about. Before he gets into wealth, and before he gets to wine, and to women, and to work, and all that other stuff, he's talking about wisdom. Because wisdom is the principal thing, he tells us. Therefore, with all thy getting, get wisdom, get understanding. But how often are we saying, Lord, I want more wisdom? We say, Lord, I need more money. Lord, I need more wealth. I need better health. I need this or that. How often do we say, Lord, I need wisdom? We don't put the perspective in the right thing. And God, wisdom brings perspective, a right perspective, right priorities, values in the right order. Wisdom, number one, is better than gain. It is better than gain. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. The first word says happy. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Again, sometimes it says, blessed is the man. Now, I don't believe that blessed and happy are necessarily the same thing. You can be blessed even when you're not happy. Again, thinking back to reading this morning, Job, with his 7 sons and his 3 daughters under the roof, celebrating when the devil sends a great wind and it crushes down and kills all 3 of them. You know what Job said at the end of that? He said, blessed, blessed. Naked came I into this world, naked I'll return thither. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was blessed, but he wasn't happy. He'd lost all his camels, all his asses, all his servants had been slain except for one of each that came back with the word of what happened. All of his children, all these things. He wasn't happy, but he still could say, I'm blessed. And that's true of us also. Even when everything falls apart around us, we're still blessed. We're saved. We're going to heaven when we die. We're going to live in the New Jerusalem. We're going to live in the presence of God for eternity. We're not going to burn. We're blessed no matter what happens down here. Wisdom gives us the right perspective. It's better than gain. Wisdom is better than wealth. You know, there have been many a man that have inherited wealth and ended up in utter disaster. Think of how many athletes, I was thinking of this week, how many athletes have made their millions of dollars. It says that Lew Alcindor, who changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to avoid the draft, but that's a whole other sermon. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, after all those years, was worth $50 million and went bankrupt and had to get a job as an assistant coach in the NBA because he'd lost all his money to, not necessarily on his own fault, but being taken by other people because he didn't have the wisdom of how to use the money that he had. Wisdom is much better than money. And wisdom, money without wisdom is fruitless. And so that's what he's talking about here. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. If you're going to have gain, you definitely need to have wisdom. Then number two, wisdom brings perspective. It's better than gain, and it is better than glamour. G-L-A-M-O-U-R. It's better than glamour. Verse 15, she is more precious than rubies. And all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Again, we live in a world, in a modern society, that glamour is elevated. The beautiful people are the ones, all the ones on television. They're the ones that get all the attention. Even in the news programs, they've got to sit the attractive woman in the middle between the guys to get all the men to watch it. They know what, the world knows what they're doing. It is better than glamour. Hollywood, the fashion world, the red carpets, looks are everything in this world. Attractiveness is what sells. And so the Bible is telling us this, that wisdom is more precious than jewels. More precious than beauty. More precious than glamour to have wisdom. And many of those that have the other things, again, don't have wisdom. And so it comes to naught. Wisdom brings perspective. Then letter D. Wisdom brings pleasantness. And this is what we're talking about. It is a pleasant path. In verse 17 to 20, pleasantness. Her ways, it says in verse number 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. If you need the spelling of pleasantness, it's right there in verse number 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy, there's that word again, happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. Wisdom brings pleasantness. Again, it keeps our health intact. It keeps our wealth intact. It keeps us away from evil company. Wisdom can do for us what nothing else can do. It protects us. It's pleasant. Number one, true happiness comes by wisdom. True happiness comes by wisdom. We saw that word up in verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. And then again here in verse number 18. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. Happiness comes from having wisdom. Peace and contentment. Happiness. Because wisdom helps us to make right decisions and right choices, and therefore we don't have regrets when it's all over. How many times have you gone to bed at night and thought, I wish I'd have handled that differently. I wish I'd have said something differently. I wish I'd not said what I said. I hope the people don't find out I'm the one that said that. Have you ever found yourself in that position? Wisdom gives you peace at night. Because you don't have those regrets. You don't have to think back on those things and wish it had been done differently. True happiness comes by wisdom. Then number two, the heavens came by wisdom. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. The Lord is the prime example of wisdom. Look at creation. Look at everything that He made. What a wise God we've got. From our universe to our earth to the planets, the moon and the sun, the rising of the sun, the effect of the moon on the earth, the closeness of the planets to the sun, to the moon, to the other planets where no collisions take place, the orbit of them, down to our human bodies and all the different details and intricate things that go on and all those, you know, the functions of the cells and even within the cells themselves, the little receptors that are in there that take in the good stuff and fight off the bad stuff. And all these things are not just a happenstance. Like, it's, you're insane to think that this just happened. I saw the little cartoon. It kind of gives humor. The little boy goes to dad and says, "Dad, where did we come from?" Dad said, "Well, there was Adam and there was Eve and they had children and we're all descendants of those children." He goes to mom and says, "Mom, where did we come from?" She said, "Well, we were once tadpoles that became frogs that crawled up on the ground and became monkeys and then became..." And so he went back to dad and said, "Dad, you lied to me. You said we came from Adam and Eve, but mom said we came from monkeys." And he said, "Well, son, I was giving you my side of the family." She was giving you her side of the family. Now, if you're offended, you can reverse the roles, man and woman. That's fine. Do it any way you want to. But it's just utterly insane to think that we came about that way, that all these things just happen. You know, all the examples are given. Go into a junkyard, put some dynamite in there, blow it up, and have it come out a perfect working automobile. It's not going to work. Put the parts of a watch together, mix it in a bag, shake it up, and let it come out a perfect, you know, nothing fits that pattern. It's not even scientific. Because to be scientific, you have to be able to prove it in a science room, and you can't prove evolution in there. All right, so by wisdom, the Lord hath founded the earth. By understanding, He has established the heavens. That's all past tense. That's what God did in the past. Then in the present, by His knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down dew. It's not only God that created, it's God that sustains. It's God that keeps it working. Sir Isaac Newton, you remember him, he was the guy that... First discovered the law of gravity. You know, you can't say he invented the law of gravity. God invented the law. He discovered the law. Up until his time, didn't dawn on anybody why things went down. Why everything went down and didn't go up. And Sir Isaac Newton, of course, was the one that discovered that. And in his process of it, he was a brilliant man long before Einstein. He was the most brilliant man of his day and his time. And what he did is he made a model of the solar system. By their limited knowledge of astrology back there and astronomy, he made a solar system. He made the earth and the sun and the moon and all the planets, and they had them on little wires and all that in the right place and the right proportions and just the right size, and everything was like that. And he had a friend of his who was an atheist. Don't ever think that atheism is something new. It's been around for a long time. And there have been days in the past where atheism was stronger than it even is today. It's just a cycle that goes around. It's a fad. Atheism is a fad. "Well, I don't believe there's a God." Well, just hang on 5 or 10 years. That'll pass and you'll get back around to it again. And there was a day and time where atheism was much more prominent than it is even today. And one of Sir Isaac Newton's best friends was an atheist, and he came and he saw that and he marveled at the planets and the sizes and the orbit and the construction and the organization of all that. And he looked at Sir Isaac Newton. He said, "Who made this?" And Sir Isaac Newton said, "Nobody. It just happened. It just popped up on his table like that by accident." You can't believe that. You've got to know that some intelligent designer made all those things in that order and in that place. God is the one, the Bible says, that by wisdom founded the earth. That's why the tides rise when they should and fall back when they should, while the world's not overcome by that. All the things that happen in the earth all happen because God's wisdom. The heavens came by wisdom. Wisdom brings pleasantness. Look then, if you would, at the back of the page. We move on to our second section in chapter 3. Verse 1 to 20 told us that wisdom is a pleasant path. Verse 21 to verse 26 tell us that it is a peaceful path. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge all bring about peace. Notice in verse 21, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes." What is them? Well, verse 20 said, by his knowledge. Well, verse 19, wisdom, understanding, verse 21, knowledge. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. This trinity of thought Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. He said, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. What is that? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. All right, knowledge. You know what knowledge is, and that's just being told what's right or what's wrong. Ladies, you're in there and you're ironing clothes. And your daughter or your granddaughter comes in and just is amazed that when you put that hot iron on those clothes, the wrinkles come out. How in the world does that happen? Curiosity sets in. Well, the phone rings and mom or grandma has to step aside and go out of the room. And she tells that young girl before she leaves, don't touch that, it's hot. All right, that's knowledge. Don't touch that, the information. Don't touch that, that's hot. But as mom goes out, all of a sudden the little girl, her curiosity gets the best of her. She wants to see if she can help mom out by ironing while she's gone. And so while mom's out, she grabs that iron and she picks it up and sets it down and mistakenly hits her little finger when she does it and burns herself. All right? That now is understanding. Knowledge was, don't touch it, it's hot, okay? Understanding, when she hit herself with it and it was hot, that's understanding. You know what wisdom is? Don't do it again. The three build one upon the other. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. The accumulation of facts, knowledge that's given by education is not going to give understanding and wisdom. And the memorization of simple facts and figures for knowledge is not, until you put it into practice, it's really not much use. And so he tells his son, you need knowledge, you need understanding, and you need wisdom. Why? Well, letter A, it is a pleasant path, or is it a peaceful path, in times of stability. In times of stability. Here's the problem. Here's the law of humanity. When everything's going well, we tend to let our guard down. When everything's going good, we're not alert. We're not watching. Where all of Scripture tells us that that's the very time we better be careful. It's while Adam and Eve were enjoying the fruits of the Garden of Eden that the devil came along and said, yea, have God said. After every mountaintop experience, Elijah up there making the sacrifice before God and God sending fire down and licking up the sacrifice and the water in the trench and all the people saying, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And right after that, Elijah's hiding, sitting under a juniper tree, hiding from Jezebel, fearing for his life. When the times of prosperity and the times of goodness come around, we tend to forget things. Notice in our nation, there's an absence of real church worship in our day. And yet let us go to battle in Afghanistan or Iran or Iraq and let a battle be raging and men and women over there and sacrificing their lives and the churches get full. Everybody comes out to church in the time of a tragedy, 9/11, whatever it is, immediately following the same. But then everything levels out, everything starts going good, and people depart from it again. It's wisdom is needed not just in the times of need, but it's needed in the off season. It's needed in the times of stability. Why? Number one, because it gives us protection in our steps. Protection in our steps. My son, let not them, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. We've seen that word before, discretion. Knowing when to and when not to. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely and thy foot shall not stumble. We have all made unwise decisions and they cause us to stumble. We need to be on guard to always be making wise decisions so we do not stumble. The Bible says the just man falleth down seven times and riseth up again. But you know what? It'd be better not to fall down the seven times. And yet when we depart from wisdom, when we don't pay attention to wisdom, that's when we stumble. If we made wise decisions at all times, there would be no stumbling. So we need to desire that wisdom in times of stability. It's protection in our steps. And number two, we've talked about this a little bit already, it's protection in our sleep. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. I heard a fellow say one time, they asked him, they said, do you ever go to bed at night and regret things you did or decisions you made or things you said during the day? He said, no, never. Now, either that is a perfect man with perfect wisdom or that's a fool. Because most of us, by experience, have known there have been times we've gone to bed at night and could not go to sleep for fear of something that happened during the day that we could say was our fault. You know the little prayer that you got taught as a kid, maybe? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake. You know, for a little 4 or 5 year old kid, that's traumatic. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Wait, what? What am I praying here? We need peace at night, not worry, not confusion, not worry about things. But the lack of wisdom even robs our sleep from us. It takes from us what is precious. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. It gives us protection in our steps and protection in our sleep. It's a peaceful path in times of stability. It's peaceful. It's a peaceful path, let her be, in times of stress. Verse 25 and verse 26 in Proverbs 3. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the destruction or the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked. Removing stress. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we have the picture of the prophet Elisha. Syria is coming against Israel and fighting against them, battling against them. And yet every time Syria comes against Israel, Israel is in the right place at the right time and knows what to do to fight Syria off. And the king of Syria says they must have a spy. There must be someone that's coming in and infiltrating us and finding out what we're doing. And some of the servants come to the king and say, no, king, it's not a spy, it's the prophet Elisha. The prophet Elisha is telling the people of Israel what thou doest in thy dreams in the nighttime, the thoughts of thine heart and the thoughts of thine head. The prophet Elisha is spilling it and giving all of that information out before they were all worried, they were all concerned because Elisha knew what was going on without them telling anything. Can you imagine the stress level going up? That everything you know and everything you plan and everything you're planning to do is known by someone else. And the stress that comes from that. In the times of stress, the Bible says we can be not afraid of sudden fear. It says we don't have to be afraid of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and keep thy foot from being taken. The things that we worry about. And you know, almost all the things we worry about, we have no control over. We worry about what's going to happen. What will be the result of this? What will be the repercussions of that? You know, we said this before. We have the freedom to make our choices, but we don't have the freedom to choose the consequences of our choices. And we worry and fear over the consequences more than over the choices that we make. We don't ask for wisdom in our choices, but then we want the stress to be eliminated. Well, the stress can be eliminated by wisdom because the bad choices won't be made in the first place. Wisdom's path. It's a pleasant path. It's a peaceful path. And number three, it is a positive path. Verse 27 down to verse 35. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power of thine hand to do it. Say not to thy neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Devise not. Verse 30. Strive not. Verse 5. Envy not. We're going to look at that key word not in verse 27 to 31 and the key word but in verse 32 to verse 35. And we're going to see that following wisdom is a positive path. We'll have to pick that up and conclude Proverbs chapter 3 next Sunday morning. Father, thank you again for your word. And Lord, the problem is not that you didn't give it to us. Father, and the problem is many times not that we don't read it, but Father, we don't apply the precious truths of the Word of God to our lives. Lord, we are so caught up in this life. We are so human. God, we are so sinful. Lord, not in the great sins outwardly in the body, but Father, in the sins of neglect. The sins, Father, of not appreciating the things of God. And Father, we ask for your forgiveness this morning. We ask you, Father, to help us to love you more, to be more obedient to you. And Father, to look at the little things. God, because it's the little things that make big things. Bless your word. Bless those that come to join us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a short break and we'll begin our morning service.